Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Welcome to One Bills Live, Tuesday edition, as we start dissecting this matchup between the Bills and the Ravens, which figures to be a step up in weight class for the Bills, and probably, for that matter, for the Ravens in terms of who they're facing as well. Let's not discount that, but a very seasoned, experienced playoff roster that John Harbaugh brings to Buffalo this week. Been there, done that kind of thing, although they had early exits each of the last 2 years from the playoffs. But with last week's win, Steve, John Harbaugh has tied the NFL record for most road playoff victories by an NFL head coach. The other two names on that list, Tom Coughlin and Tom Landry. That's a pretty big step for a head coach in this league. With as much history as eight playoff wins on the road.
So he's got a chance to win, take the NFL lead.
He does.
Historic lead against our team.
He does. He does. And what? I don't want to see it. So
I don't either. He's a great coach and has had some, obviously he's won a world championship with that crew. And they were the number one seed last year. They're in this year. They're playing well this year. I think you talk about stepping up in weight class. I think both these clubs got into a good fist fight in week one of the wild card round. Yeah, them with Tennessee and the Bills, of course, with Indianapolis. Indianapolis played a fantastic game against the Bills, and they looked like an 11-win, 12-win team. So I would expect, too, that the expectations for next year's Indianapolis team would be elevated greatly.
Yes, I would say that's true. Of course, the quarterback situation has to get figured out. I know Frank Reich did say he would like to have Phillip Rivers as his quarterback next year as well.
I think he's got football left, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, arms. I don't know. The arm's starting to go on him, I think. And it was never super strong to begin with.
I don't know.
Pretty good. 4,100-yard passing season is nothing to sneeze at. I'll give you that. 24 touchdown passes. Productive. And with that running game, you can win with that. I don't know if you're going all the way with that, but you can win with that. But, this matchup, I think, has a lot of areas where Bills fans are a little bit concerned about some of the matchups. And it's part of how we constructed our Twitter poll today, and we'll get to that in a little bit. There are some NFL news and notes regarding the head coaching vacancies that exist. Obviously, a seventh one opened up yesterday, as we reported here on the show yesterday, with the Eagles parting ways with Doug Peterson. And so word came down today that the Eagles have requested permission to interview Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, and he is already going to New York to have a second interview with the Jets, and this will be of a face-to-face variety. So it looks like he's the early front runner for the Jets job, although, you know, nothing is going to be formally offered as of yet, we would think. But knowing the Eagles are interested in speaking to him as well, you wonder if that prompts the Jets, if they like what they hear in this second interview, they say, hey, job's yours if you want it. The question is, Does Robert Saleh take it? Because he is still in the running for the Detroit job. Now he's being asked to talk to the Eagles. There's probably a situation that you like there better than the others. I don't know which one he might think it is.
I think it's going to come down to each individual head coaching candidate and which opportunity they like the best. And I've heard as well that most of these candidates look at the surrounding, not just that. What they really look at is the ownership group. How stable is it? How savvy are they? How willing to give you what you want means a lot to these guys. And also, aside from that, what's the division look like going forward?
Right.
That's a big thing. You talk about trying to find a quality coach to come into the AFC East over the last 20 years. It's like, you know what, I'd rather play in the West, you know, or I'd rather play in the South.
Well, I don't know if I want to go in the NFC North as long as Aaron Rodgers is still playing, but.
Well, he's in his 13th year, though.
Yeah.
So you got to,
So maybe the timing could be right. By the time you've got that Detroit team up and running the way you want it, they might be bidding farewell to Aaron Rodgers.
The spot is Atlanta.
With NFC 260, South, yeah, Brady and Breeze.
In the game this weekend, the ages of the two quarterbacks is 85 combined. 85.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you got to think at some point those guys are going to get to the end of the rainbow, yeah. Right? So, you know, that'll open that up for you. If you can go into the NFC South, you got Teddy Bridgewater and you got Matt Ryan. If you go in and take the Atlanta job, And you got a little bit of space there if you can find a replacement for Matt Ryan while he's still taking snaps and then make the transition that way or whatever. Build your program in a division that's going to be a little bit quarterback poor in a year or two years anyway. Right?
Yeah. I don't debate that. As we know, Brian Daboll is in the running for Jets and Chargers. He's done virtual interviews with both clubs. We learned yesterday that Leslie Frazier has been requested by the Houston Texans, whose new GM Nick Caserio is just hitting the ground running now and trying to fill his head coaching vacancy. And Leslie Frazier spoke with the Buffalo media yesterday, and he was just made aware of the request for permission to interview him yesterday afternoon. So that obviously has not taken place yet. I don't know when it takes place now, though. Because now you're getting into – I mean, yesterday was
Sunday.
Probably – well, I know, but what if the Texans don't want to wait that long? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're racing six other teams right now for people.
They probably figured that – well, they knew what they were asking.
Actually, I don't think they can now.
They knew what
I'm
they were
asking. I'm going to check the rules, but I don't think they can now. I think they have to wait till the weekend.
Right. They know what they're asking. They know what the schedule is for these guys, and they've got other guys they want to interview. So they got plenty of time to get some other interviews done before Leslie Frazier comes through the door to do his interview. They know the parameters of guys they ask. I mean, you know, think about Eric Bieniemy. He's in the same boat as well.
Right.
So,
yeah, they can't interview anybody again
who's
until
still working.
January 25th.
Who's still working, you mean?
Yes.
That's right.
So virtual interviews with coaches whose team won a wild card game can begin for head coaching positions through the conclusion of the divisional games on January 17th. So that would make it sound as though any time this week that you have free time, you can do a virtual interview.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't think that's wise to ask a team to, you know what I mean? You're stepping into the practice week now.
You know, oh yeah,
you can't.
But there's plenty of here. My point is this: you're gonna unless you want to have it done by the weekend, which I doubt.
Yeah. So you think they'll probably do him on Sunday?
Yeah, they got Robert Saleh flying across the country from the Niners. They got all these other candidates. Right. They got these other candidates: Jim Caldwell, Marvin Lewis.
Yep.
You know all these guys that are out there that are in the pool of names. The only ones you're talking about now. And even Arthur Smith is off the hook now. Now he can fly and interview wherever he wants because
he too has been requested by the Eagles. So,
now that there's openings, I think you're right. It does sprinkle on a little bit of. Well, now you know we better get our guy because now there's another team that may pluck our guy.
Yeah,
but there's also a new candidate too. Doug Peterson got dropped into the pool of names available. And he's won a world championship in the last 5 years. So that may be somebody you want to – now you got another name to interview, too.
Yeah. The carousel is spinning, and another person just got on the ride in both areas, in the pool of coaching candidates and in the pool of teams looking for a coach.
Right.
In the Eagles.
Right.
And Doug
Everybody
Peterson. So it's going to spin even a little bit
faster. And if there's anybody,
now.
And I don't know that there is, I couldn't say that there is, I kind of doubt it, but think about this, that, you know, if there's anybody on that's Eagles staff.
Correct.
They're also in the pool now, right? So.
Mm-hmm. There is some Bills news as well. We learned from Coach McDermott late yesterday afternoon that Zach Moss will not play this week and will miss Saturday's game against the Ravens. And there are also reports out there that veteran running back Devonta Freeman will be signed by the Bills to be added to their practice squad, obviously an insurance move. You know, with Zach Moss down, all you need is one more injury, and then suddenly you're scrambling for a running back, and you'd rather get a guy in sooner rather than later to at least learn the basics of your system,
right,
and assignments and whatnot. Was with the Giants earlier this season. Didn't finish the season with them. So there's that. And it also begs the question, who is up on Saturday for the Bills at running back? I know we briefly discussed this yesterday, and Coach McDermott actually had an interesting comment about Antonio Williams, which we'll get to in a little bit here. But I think that there is a real possibility that if Antonio Williams can serve a role on special teams, Steve, I think there's a good chance that he and T.J. Yeldon might be up with Devin Singletary. Maybe it's only two. Maybe it's Singletary and one other guy. But I think there's at least the possibility that they may dress three.
Well, they have Tywan Jones.
Oh, yes. I forgot about Tywan Jones. So it's probably only two.
And so, but, yeah, you're right. They go with two. They've done that all year except Tywan. Tywan's the emergency guy in the game.
I thought about this yesterday, Steve, after you and I had the discussion about the running backs on the air, and I was thinking to myself, okay, who fits better against the Baltimore defense? And I thought to myself, what is the one thing that Buffalo's running back contingent lacks in terms of who is on the active roster? And I would say it's explosion. We don't – the Bills roster, the active roster, does not have an explosive back per se. Tywan Jones has speed, doesn't have a great deal of size, but he does have burst. So I guess he would be the only guy you would point to and say, yeah, there's burst to his game. But what Antonio Williams showed in Week 17, he absolutely has burst. Now, that could be a byproduct of just having much fresher legs than the rest of the guys running around out there that have played 16 weeks.
Don't discount that.
But
that's a thing.
It's something. It was something to behold. I mean, it was readily apparent there was a spring in his step that wasn't in anybody else's.
He was, he was playing in the Super Bowl. Everybody else was on a Wednesday practice.
Yeah.
He was, that's what it looked like with him. And I'll tell you, it's hard to do. The guy jumped. There's no question about it. And
I wonder if he gets a chance. This is a big spot to put an undrafted rookie in. But
you've had 4 months to look at him every day and watch him and get to know what kind of guy he is. And you saw him in live action in a game that counted to the team that you were playing. He got in the second half and was lumping people up. But you're right, Brownie. None of the guys we're talking about are home run hitters. You know, they're not going to snap off the 80-yard run, and the defense doesn't have to think about it. I think I'm more concerned about the level of respect the Ravens' entire defense has for any of our running backs. You know, our running game in particular. Are they going to, you know, what are they going to think about our running game? They've got a great deal of respect for Josh Allen and these receivers.
Yeah.
What's that going to look like when they defend the run? That's a real question. Are they going to, you know, like the Colts did and play two guys over the top all day, or are they going to come down and play some of the man like they did last year? And just because this is – we were talking about our Twitter poll, which we haven't gotten to yet, but you look at this Bills team and this Ravens team. The Ravens are kind of who they were last year. They've evolved a little bit, no question about it. They've done a lot more things with their offense
a little bit. Yeah.
Right. But this Bills team couldn't be more different than where they were week 14 last year. They could not be more different.
Yeah.
They had a top-flight elite defense and an offense that was just kind of trying to keep their head above water. And I went back and looked at some of that game from last year.
It's night
and day. It's unrecognizable.
It's night and day.
It's unrecognizable. You think
Josh
of what,
17 to 39 or something?
Yeah, what the Baltimore Ravens are doing defensively to the Bills, you're going, ooh, that's going to cost them. And it's like, oh, no, wait, this is last year.
Yeah.
The Bills had no answers. Now, the Bills can start to ask you the questions. You know, that's what their thing is on offense. It could not be a different game, more different game than it was in week 14 of last year.
And the other thing, too, is, and most fans that have kind of kept their ear to the ground probably have heard this already, that the Baltimore Ravens blitz at the highest rate in football, over 45% of the time, 45.5% of the time, they blitz. They send an extra rusher. And they're also third in the league in first down blitz percentage. They blitz almost 40% of the time on first down. Which might be an unheard of stat 10 years ago. And obviously, with more teams throwing on first down now than maybe ever before, and the Bills are one of the top teams in the league throwing on first down, you can kind of understand why Baltimore has such a high number even on first down with their blitz rate. But it begs the question, Steve, how much are they going to blitz Josh Allen? So I did do a little homework this morning to try to assess that. So I looked first, Steve, at who has Baltimore blitz the most during the course of their regular season. Okay. So the top five, one, two, three, four. Yeah. The top five quarterbacks who were blitzed the most. Okay. We'll start at
By Baltimore.
Okay. Number five, Joe Burrow. Okay.
Lucky.
He was blitzed 53.4% of his snaps and they killed him. Seven sacks. 17 quarterback hits.
That's number five?
That's number five in terms of blitz rate. Not success rate, blitz rate. Ravens won that game 27-3. Number four, Carson Wentz. They blitzed him at a rate of 54.3%. They sacked him six times, 17 quarterback hits. Ravens won only by two, 30-28.
Okay.
Number three on the list, Ryan Tannehill, they blitzed him 56% of the time, only got two sacks, seven quarterback hits, and as you know, they lost that game to the Titans in overtime in the regular season. Number two on the list, Daniel Jones of the Giants, blitzed 59.6% of the snaps. They got six sacks and 11 quarterback hits on him. The Ravens won 27-13. And number one, the most blitzed quarterback by the Ravens this year on regular season schedule.
Okay, here we go. Let's say,
should have saved this for the numbers game for our One Bills Light podcast. You're gonna guess? What do you say?
Ben Roethlisberger.
It was not Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, wait.
I'll give you one more.
Wait. Oh, was it? Who did they play? They played Dallas. Was it like the 19th guy that was at Andy Dalton?
It was not Andy Dalton.
Who was the? Was it the Dallas Cowboys?
It was not okay. The Dallas
Hold
Cowboys.
Hold on. Wait. Stop. Oh, it was.
This is going to.
It was the guy. It was the guy in Jacksonville. It was whoever that was.
Minshew? Or
yeah,
doing?
Gardner Minshew.
It was not Jacksonville.
All right, go.
Cam Newton.
Really?
They blitzed him. Are you ready for this? 68.4% of the snaps, they blitzed him. Had just one sack and three quarterback hits on him, though. And
just
the Patriots and the
and
Patriots won the game, 23-17.
Wow.
So what I did, first thing I did was I went and looked at what they did against the Titans last week in comparison to the first time, and they backed off in the game last week. So in the regular season, they blitzed Tannehill 56% of the time, lost the game in overtime. Last week, they blitzed Tannehill only 37% of the time, one sack, five quarterback hits. As we know, the Ravens won the game. But Tannehill had only 165 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. So probably good. So then what I did, Steve, was I said, okay, those are the quarterbacks they blitzed the most. Let's see what quarterbacks who are comparable in skill set to Josh Allen. What did they do against those kinds of quarterbacks? What did Baltimore do? So Baltimore played Patrick Mahomes, and they played Deshaun Watson, who are probably the closest things that I could find on the Ravens' schedule to a Josh Allen skill set. Are you at least in the neighborhood of agreeing with me on that?
I got you. Okay.
So with Patrick Mahomes, they blitzed him 47.6% of the time. No sacks, four quarterback hits. Ravens lost by two touchdowns, 34-20. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mahomes, 31 of 42 for 385 yards and four touchdowns. Also had four carries for 26 yards and a touchdown run. So Mahomes, five touchdowns.
Okay, so that didn't That didn't work.
Against
Deshaun. That was almost 40% of the time or a little over a third?
47.6%.
Oh, it's almost half the time.
47.6%. Okay. Right. Deshaun Watson, okay? Ravens against the Texans. Deshaun Watson blitzed 46.3% of the time, a comparable number for another mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Four sacks, 13 quarterback hits. Watson, 275 yards passing, completed about 70% of his passes.
What was his numbers?
25 of 36 for 275 yards, touchdown and a pick, and the Ravens won going away 33-16. Now, the Texans have a lot more problems than,
right,
than we care to admit. So I said, okay, now let me look at how Josh Allen did against the teams that blitzed him the most this year. Okay? See how he did. So these are the top five teams that blitzed Josh Allen the most this season. Okay?
All right.
Number five, Miami. Steve, I can print this sheet out and give it to you. You don't have to write
it
all this
time. Like writing it down. It makes
okay. You remember, Miami. You retain it better? I'm a writer-downer also.
All right, here we go.
Miami, number five, they blitz him at a rate of 50%. And that's over both games.
And this is the team that Josh Allen had like
7 touchdowns. Yeah. So that's number five. Number four, Kansas City blitzed them at a rate of 52%. Arizona, number three, blitzed them at a rate of 55%. Seattle, number two, blitzed them at a rate of 57.8%. Now that number I thought was a little misleading only because they had no other choice.
Right.
If you remember that Seattle game, it got to a point where if we don't blitz, we're not going to be able to do anything.
Right.
And even that had limited success, as we know. The number one blitz team on Josh Allen this year in terms of frequency was Pittsburgh. 62.2% of the time, they blitzed him. So, Josh Allen's combined numbers against those five teams over six games, because Miami's in there for two games, Josh Allen was 143 for 217. That's a completion percentage of 66%. Almost 1,700 yards, 1,698. 16 touchdowns, 5 picks, sacked 10 times, passer rating 104.5. One loss rating of...
3-2.
Let me see here. 4-2.
Yeah, because Miami's twice.
So there's a nutshell of what Miami, I was. Those are the numbers I was crunching this morning.
Miami was the number one scoring defense in the league. Pittsburgh, at the time we played them, was number one scoring defense. We're number one pass rush team in the league.
So now that I've spit out all those numbers, and there's probably too many there, but now that I spit all those out, what do you think Baltimore does with this guy? Because even with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, who were not in the top five of quarterbacks they blitzed the most, they probably are most comparable in skill set in terms of mobility and passing ability to Josh Allen. They still blitz those guys over 45% of the time, which is higher than their season average.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what – but they lost one of those games, Mahomes, by two touchdowns, and won the other one convincingly over the Texans, who are a bad football team.
Yeah, they were. They didn't have any offensive weapons.
So
yeah.
I was hoping to get more clarity, crunching all these numbers, as to what Baltimore might do with their blitz scheme, but I don't know that I'm any closer to an answer.
How much did Baltimore blitz over the course of the entire season?
45.5% of the time.
I mean, that's
leads the league.
That's what you're going to get. That's who they are. But I'll say this, if the Bills are going to have to come up with protection schemes, because if they consistent, if you go spread out, either go empty or with a back, You got five offensive linemen and a back. If they bring six and don't go zero, which means if the defense brings six, you've got six blockers. You're running back and your five offensive linemen. And then your four wideouts or your tight end and your running back, whatever, whichever tight end or running back he releases, they're all manned up. They're all manned up. The question is, can you protect your guy before somebody get and before and, somebody gets open?
And I've only watched a couple of Baltimore's games to this point. They don't send six a lot. They only send five most of the time when they, you know, send extra pressure. So it's usually at least I've only seen two games, but it's usually five. Not six.
For me, five should not be enough.
Yeah.
Now, Baltimore's got like Calais Campbell down inside. They got some guys down inside.
They bring it from different
places. They can collapse it. But they don't have, you know, DeForest Buckner.
Yeah. I don't worry about interior pressure as much with Josh because he'd prefer to roll out. So I worry about those premier edge guys, you know? Yeah. Those are the guys you worry about.
So here's the thing. We've got guys that are going to get open. They can get open fast. You got Cole Beasley, you got John Brown, and, you know, all the guys, we know them, Diggs. So I just don't think they do a lot of that this game. Maybe they do. The Bills are crushing
people. You're anticipating they commit to coverage, rush four, drop seven, rush three, drop eight.
Yeah.
Because they get in the passing lane.
They'll drop out of there because I don't think they will fear Buffalo's running game, particularly with Zach Moss out of the lineup. I think they'll just say, listen, you're going to run it, go ahead. We don't think you will.
I will say, Devin Singletary had a decent game against them last year. 18 carries, 95 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry. So there's a part of me that says, I don't know if you want the straight-ahead guy as your main back in this game because they are so good at filling the holes and holding their ground. You may want to make you miss guy like Devin is. You know, he'll leave somebody on the ground on a wallet, phone, keys play where the guys are looking for their wallet, their phone, and their keys because Devin shook them out of their shoes.
Right, we've seen that a bunch. It's going to be really interesting because there's no question that Baltimore is not going to get any help from last year's game about this year's game. The defense is different.
Yeah.
The offense is completely different. And I think Baltimore is a lot of what they were a year ago. They might be a year deeper into it, but that's who they are. So, not that they haven't played anybody like the Bills or anything like that. I'm just saying they haven't seen this Bills team.
Valid. I was particularly intrigued by the amount of poise that Baltimore showed when they got off to a rough start. Down 10-0
right
to Tennessee.
On the road.
Threw a pick early.
It was a bad pick.
They didn't panic. Yeah. They didn't panic at all. And then once Lamar ran for that 48-yard touchdown, you could kind of see the energy come back into the team after that, and they kind of carried the day from there. Twitter poll today involves this game, obviously, as we are asking you, which matchup is more important in Saturday's game with the Ravens and why? Is it the Ravens' offense against the Bills' defense, or is it the Bills' offense against the Ravens' defense? Got two choices there. Let us know which matchup you feel is more important. And I know the voting was pretty mixed early on once we put this poll up on our Twitter account, at @OneBillsLive. So be sure to respond there, vote in the poll, and then let us know why you feel that way. And we'll go to the phones as well at 803-0550, see what you have to say there. Coming up on the show today in about a half an hour's time, Kyle Brandt for his weekly visit from Good Morning Football. We'll talk to him. And I don't know if he's totally optimistic about the Bills this week against Baltimore, but we'll check in with him and find out. And then about an hour and a half from now, former Bills lineman, also played for a host of other teams in the league, Ross Tucker will be joining us as well. So we'll check in with him about the playoff landscape as it currently stands in both the AFC and NFC and get his take on that and his thoughts on the Bills as well. We're going to take a quick phone call here as Brian in Buffalo has been waiting. And Brian, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
How you doing? Excuse me. Thanks for taking my call. I always watch good morning, football, and you guys every day. And I know Kyle Brandt's a big Buffalo Bills backer, but last week, I can't remember what day it was, Thursday or Friday, he sort of put Buffalo down because he was backing the Colts, actually. I don't remember who he picked to win the game, but he was saying Buffalo better watch out because of this and this and this. You know, it was like he switched. And I want to know if you guys can bring it up to him or what, or ask him about it.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't wrong. There were things to look out for in that game, for sure. It was nail-biting time late in that game. So,
I'll say this. We give Kyle a lot of leeway on this show because he's working for a national outlet in Good Morning Football. They talk about the 32 teams in the league, and he knows all – he's got a handle on all of them. So we respect his opinion because while he does like us and he likes the Bills and he loves the Mafia and all that – he also has to kind of walk the fence a lot because he's got to talk about all these teams in
a
positive
way. He's a rah-rah guy for the whole league.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, he's not paid to be a Bills fan. He's paid to be a fan of the NFL. So if you hear him talking some nice things about other teams, it's just because there's some nice things to be talked about other places. So,
And that's the game
we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a vacuum, and certainly Kyle doesn't either. So we give Kyle – as an honorary member of the Bills Mafia, we give him a little bit of leeway as to the nice things he can say about the upcoming opponents for the Bills.
All right, break time for us. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls and your comments on the tweet sheet as we're asking you which matchup is more important in Saturday's game with the Ravens and why. Ravens offense against Bills defense or Bills offense against Ravens defense? Tell us what you think, and we'll get to you next. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to this week's game sponsor, Pepsi, the official soft drink of the Buffalo Bills. Game sponsor for Saturday's game with the Ravens. A prime time affair. Forecasts, at least the ones that I've seen, Steve. You can tell me if you've seen different. There is a chance for some light snow in the forecast, but it's not supposed to be of any measurable accumulation. More of the flurry variety. Low of around 28. I did not see a wind forecast, though, so I'll have to check again and see if we can get one for that, but it doesn't look like the weather will be compromising game plans, shall we say, from what's forecast at this point.
It's pretty... Yeah. I don't know. It it's got to be really bad for that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, like, you need 50-mile-an-hour winds and the goalposts waving around and all that kind of stuff. Which we have seen here in over the many years that we've watched Bills football.
It hardly ever happens.
Yeah. We said we would get back to the phones as we are asking you at 803-0550, which matchup is more important in Saturday's game with the Ravens and why? Ravens offense against the Bills defense, Bills offense against the Ravens defense. Tell us which one has your stomach in knots, which one you feel good about, which one is more important. So let us know at 803-0550. We go to Brandon all the way down in Texas. Brandon, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's definitely good to be on. I'm a Ravens fan down here in Texas, but I've been listening to your show this week. I think you guys do a great job. Just wanted to show you some love.
Oh, thanks, man.
On the game. Oh, no problem. No problem. I think that the key matchup is going to be the Ravens offense versus the Bills defense. And the reason why I say that is I think that while the Ravens, the Bills have definitely progressed a lot since the last matchup. And I agree with both of you. I don't think they'll be able to zero blitz Josh as much as they did last year. I'm still confident that the Ravens secondary that's now fully healthy can kind of limit just the high-flying octane power that the Bills offense has. I can see them kind of keeping the Bills to between, I'd say, 24 and 30 points, especially if the weather gets a little bad. But where I have my doubts about the Bills being able to deal with the Ravens is in the trenches, specifically on the D-line. I don't think the Bills have been great this year at stopping the run. And I think that as the season has gone on, one X factor for the Ravens is J.K. Dobbins. I think he provides the Ravens with a perimeter rush game that's hard to defend. And I think that last week, the Ravens finally unlocked a key to being able to defend a defense that the Bills started against us last year, and the Titans kind of took it to the next level. And it was a tough matchup for us for a while. But I think that the Ravens kind of were able in the second half to unlock some keys to beating that defense that the Bills put together against us last year. And it's the flat passing game. I think that being able to pass to our fullback, Ricard, and even being able to use Andrews and Hollywood Brown on the horizontal passing game, I think is something to watch for this game. And I just really think that in the trenches, one thing that's not maybe talked about as much is the Bills have a great defense, but they're small. They're not big. And I think that over the course of a four-quarter game, having to tackle Dobbins, having to deal with the north-south running game of Gus Edwards, who I think is an underrated running back, I think that's going to create some challenges in the second half, and I think that the Ravens may be able to wear them down. But give me your thoughts, guys.
Yeah, I got one question for you, Brandon. It's nice to have you on. Thanks for calling the show. We're very welcoming of other fans of the other teams to call in. What have you noticed about – because we know Lamar was the MVP last year, and I know that you've probably watched all their games and have heard all the commentary, and just tell our Bills fans here that are listening to this show and now listening to you – what a Baltimore fan sees in Lamar this year that maybe gives you prompt like he's getting better and better. What is he doing this year that he isn't? How has he evolved and how is he different than he was in his MVP year?
Great question. I think for me what I saw is his maturation. I think in most importantly, I think he's starting to get a better connection with Hollywood Brown. I think one of the reasons why Lamar regressed a little bit, I say especially midseason, his offensive line was in flux. Last year, Lamar had confidence in the line. We had one of the best lines in the league. We had Stanley at left tackle. We had Yonder, future Hall of Fame guard. And so Lamar could step into his throws. But as the season went on this year, some teams started really getting interior pressure on him. We couldn't step into the throws. And then when Stanley went down, it gave us an opportunity where we had to transition in the offensive line and kind of get that set. And so I think that, honestly, that's been the biggest reason for the – I think the national narrative might be he regressed a little bit. I just think the Ravens had to get an offensive line in front of him that could protect on the interior. One way you can get to Lamar is through interior pressure, which I do think Ed Oliver and a couple of your D tackles could have a big game if they can do that. But honestly, that's been the thing I've seen, has been the Ravens' offensive line, especially midseason, was in flux, and Lamar was not confident in that offensive line. And he was also trying to show the world, I can be a pocket passer. I can do this. And so what I've seen the last, I'd say about a month or so, since he came back from COVID, Lamar just said, you know what, I'm going to be Lamar. I am going to throw the ball downfield when it's there, but I'm not going to try to get through first progression, second progression, third progression. If my first two reads aren't there, I'm going to take off and I'm going to run. And so I do think that one thing that I wish the Ravens would do this offseason, they got to get him a number one receiver. I think you guys saw in Buffalo, when you get a guy like Diggs, it sets your whole receiving core up. And so now you have one of the best receiving cores in the league. And I think that's helped Josh a lot. I think the Ravens need to use that template this year. And I think next year, if they can bring in a number one receiver, it'll kind of set Hollywood up as a number two. It'll give Mark Andrews more open field opportunities in the middle of the field. Because as you guys know, the game plan on Lamar is flood the middle of the field, make him throw on the edges. And so I don't think we have enough edge receivers and enough big play receivers on the outside right now. So I think that that's the area where I think the Ravens need to focus on in the offseason, is getting him another receiver on the outside that will kind of give Hollywood a little bit more free space and give Andrews a little more free space.
All right. Brandon, that's awesome. I appreciate that's a good call. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And very thorough.
I will agree. I will agree with Brandon on this and some of the things he we let him go because it's fun.
Well,
to
we
got to
get to other people too.
Yeah. I agree with him. I think the trenches are going to dictate this game. This is a game that's, you know, this is an AFC North team. They're going to try and out-physical you. And I said this yesterday, even in the secondary, I've covered John Harbaugh teams all the way for the last 15, 20 years. And one thing, even back when Ray was there, and I talked to Ray Lewis when he was a rookie in the league as a broadcaster. So I was through that whole era.
Yeah.
Their personality is that when they get into big moments, and I think it's a great way to do it, they won a Super Bowl doing this. In the big moments, they play more physical than you do. And they dare the officials to get involved in those big moments. Particularly, I'll take you back to Super Bowl 47. It was the two Harbaugh brothers. It was the Niners and the Ravens.
The lights out Super Bowl.
It was the blackout Super Bowl. The Ravens, the Niners get back into that game because the lights go out. There's a big delay, and the Ravens are trying to get the game over. And the Niners have got their backs against the wall, and they got Kaepernick and all this, and they're doing all. So they get back in the game. They get down to crunch time, and they've got a chance to go for a two-point conversion to tie it up and get back in the game. And I'm telling you what, those Baltimore defensive backs, throw the flag if you want. They're not scoring. We'll take another shot at it, but they're not scoring. The guy that Kaepernick threw the football to was held. It was illegal contact, and it was pass interference. All three, no flag. Baltimore wins. And that's the way they are, not just in the big moments, but down inside – they want to dominate up front on defensive line and offensive line all the time.
The only point that Brandon made that I'll refute a little bit in terms of Buffalo's ability to defend it, and I did notice this, and he brought it up, was how much they're using the flat passing game to help Lamar get in a passing rhythm. They used Ricard, the fullback, as he mentioned, and they used Hollywood Brown out in the flats on short little flare routes, just quick five-yard pass and let the guy make somebody miss in space or try to get some extra yardage. Ricard was an afterthought for Tennessee. They didn't even cover him. He would just kind of block at the line of scrimmage, leak out to the right, bing, little pass, 5-6 yards, second and four. They did that three or four times. They never covered him.
Right.
Because I guess they figured, well, he's not running away from us.
Yeah, they rally to the ball and make the tackle, yeah.
But you're giving up 5-6 yards every time. And then they did it with Hollywood Brown also. They ran some orbit motion with him, threw it to him behind the line of scrimmage, threw it to him at the line of scrimmage. Quick little release pattern, like doesn't even take a step off the line, runs horizontally, and then just turns and looks over his shoulder for a quick pass, and they were getting 4 or 5 yards that way. Part of the reason that's successful is because Tennessee's secondary sucks. It's awful. It's absolutely awful, not only in terms of coverage. They've got to be one of the worst tackling secondaries I have ever seen. They're ridiculously bad. And that will not happen against the Bills. So I don't think those flat routes are going to be there for the Ravens to exploit in this matchup.
It will be interesting because if there's any sense, the Ravens are unbelievably slanted like no other team in the league. They're number one in the league in rushing yards.
Yes.
Number one with a bullet. They're number 32 in passing. So they're first and last. So that gives you an idea of what you're up against when you start watching film on the Ravens about their commitment to the running game. You think your team's committed to the running game, you haven't seen the Baltimore Ravens. They're committed to the running game. You think the Tennessee Titans are committed to the running game? Not like the Baltimore Ravens are. Those guys run it, and they dare you to stop it, and they're going to pound on you. It was like a caller, Brandon from Texas, said, over the course of four quarters, the sheer dedication of them handing the football off or you trying to defend Lamar Jackson, who's a home run hitter, a 4-3 guy with the ball in his hands, you just get worn out chasing him or trying to hem him in. And one wrong move is a home run for them. So it's pretty nerve-wracking to watch to defend this Baltimore Raven running game. Passing game, I think what you really hope for in their passing game, certainly you might get the occasional pick if he goes deep and doesn't throw it well. But I think what you're really trying to do is just get the incompletion once in a while so you can get him into 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. They're rarely there.
Break time for us, but the roster moves are official for the Bills, at least the ones that were being reported. Zach Moss has been put on injured reserve. They've elevated offensive lineman Jordan Devey to the active roster. He was a practice squad call-up for a couple of weeks this season. And signed to the practice squad, running back Devonta Freeman. We'll be back with more here on One Bills Live, including your phone calls, when we return. Back in a minute. Multiply your winnings up to 100 times. The X Series from the New York Lottery. It's a better way to multiply. Must be 18 years or older to purchase. Please play responsibly. Last season, the Bills were the only team to hold Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson under 200 combined yards, 145 passing, 40 rushing. Only two teams in 2020 limited Jackson to under 200 total yards, the Chiefs in Week 3 and the Bengals in Week 5. So, Steve, we have to get back to the phones here because we've got some people waiting for us.
All right.
And we go to Tom in Depew. Tom, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Tom.
I just want to say, Steve, you're the most fantastic player I've ever seen play the game. And you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Thanks.
Thank you for not putting in there.
Thanks. What do you got, Tom?
Last year, I remember specifically, Lonzo Alexander came in your show and was talking about how he had some special way of defending.
Tom?
Yeah, Tom. I think you're talking about Lorenzo Alexander, but we're going to let you go there because we're having trouble hearing you and understanding you, so I'm sorry about that. But I think Tom wanted to address Lorenzo Alexander's role in the defense last year, and he had a multifaceted role. There's no question about that, and I think he's wondering how they cross up Baltimore's offense now that he's no longer part of the equation. They don't really have somebody like Lorenzo this year.
No.
To serve that multifaceted role. They really don't.
One of the things, I may be wrong about this, I can't really remember too well. It seems like they were using Lorenzo on some pass rush moves as well. They were putting him down inside.
Yep.
To rush the passer.
They would kick Shaq down inside too last year.
Right, so what would happen is you got Lorenzo out there who's basically a weak side linebacker, but then when he'd step down, you'd bring another guy in off the bench. You didn't know the personnel combination that they were going to use or how they're going to use Lorenzo. So it would give pause to the offense about what they were actually seeing in their defensive front. Was Lorenzo going to play defensive tackle with Jerry Hughes outside of him, or was he going to come out of the line of scrimmage and go back and cover? So it gave the Bills some flexibility that way and some disguise ability that way. I don't think they do that this year. What they use is they use Edmonds and Milano, and they move them around outside, inside, together through that double A-gap blitz you see once in a while, or they'll just move them around. So that's how they do it this year. They just try to get the same effect with a different way, in a different way, using different players.
Let's go to Alex out in Webster. Alex, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not too much. What do you have for us?
So I was wondering, we saw the Bills' game plan against the Chiefs was to basically take away what they do best, which is pass the ball and dare them to run. I was wondering if the Bills will go the opposite way with the Ravens and make them pass the ball and do as much as possible to stop the run.
Sounds good to me if it works. I mean, the problem with that, and problem with a lot of what we come up with, is that we feel like if we do that 100% of the time, it's going to work 100% of the time. Those guys are on scholarship too. So you got to mix up your defensive look and your defensive scheme, or you're going to pay the price. So you've got to be good enough at enough different things defensively and offensively so as not to let them do the exact same thing snap after snap. They're that good. Lamar Jackson is not going to let the Bills line up with 9 in the box, play 0 cover blitz, and stop their running game and then not have an answer for that. They'll have an answer for that. So if you do that all the time, you're going to pay for it eventually.
You can't sell out and do anything all of the
time.
I
get
it. This league is too advanced.
You can pick your spots, certainly.
Yes.
You can certainly pick your spots and do that, and I get what you're saying, and you're right. There's going to be times when the Baltimore Ravens are going to run it, the Bills know they're going to run it, and Brownie and I know they're going to run it, and the Baltimore Raven fans know they're going to run it, and so do all the Bills fans know they're going to run it. That's when you kind of pick your spot to go, yeah, maybe we'll play 0 and go after the quarterback. Stop the run on the way to the quarterback. But that's not going to work on a vast majority of snaps.
Yeah.
Maybe, like you say, maybe on 35% of the snaps or 30% of the snaps or whatever that is, you can't do the same thing over and over. That's all there is to it. I agree with you. You got to make them do that.
It's going to be very interesting because – I don't think any of us are anticipating that the Ravens will have a whole lot of respect for Buffalo's rushing attack. I wonder how much respect the Bills are going to have for the Ravens' passing attack, knowing it sits last in the league. It's not like they can't do it, but they don't have a tremendous amount of success doing it. So you wonder how you balance those things in terms of where do we be aggressive at the expense of maybe leaving that open, knowing it's not a strength of theirs kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I wonder with the cat and mouse game and everything. Break time for us, but when we come back from Good Morning Football, it's Kyle Brandt who will be making his weekly visit. We'll see what he thinks about this divisional playoff in prime time on Saturday night. Kyle Brandt coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.